This is an interview with Norma Paulus at the Oregon Historical Society in Portland, Oregon. The interviewer is Clark Hansen. The date is 7/30/99, and this is tape 10, side 1. In our, at the end of our last session, we were about to talk a little bit about Glenn Jackson, and you had mentioned that you had some familiarity with him. How would you describe the role that he played in Oregon politics?
Well, I used to tell people after we had our first encounters and our first headbutting sessions.
Headbutting sessions?
Well, that's not the right term. Because we didn't meet. But we were adversaries on several issues. But I used to tell people then that it's a good thing he was honest because he had a great deal of power and there was little or no legislative oversight. But in those days, the gas tax fund was almost healthier than the general fund. Mm-hmm. And when he sat on the top of the State Highway Commission and pretty much controlled it, that was a huge, that was just a very, very, very large budget with all kinds of priorities affected more Oregonians, I guess, than just about any agency, and it was the one where you could extend a lot of favors if you were disposed to operate that way.
Was that the basis of his support or basis of his power?
No, then his real power came from the fact that he was chairman of and ran Pacific Power and Light. So the combination gave him enormous influence. But how I ran afoul of Glenn Jackson was, as a freshman legislator, when I was a freshman House member, Carson was serving his first term in the Senate, and Marion County had worked very, very hard, and the city had worked very hard together to plan a transportation system, land use, preserve the historic district downtown. I had a bill. My bill was to give tax credits for historic buildings, and it passed. It took in 73 it passed, but in 71 we found that, first of all, that the legislature, the powers, the people that were running both houses came from outside Marion County. And they did not want to put any Marion County legislators on the Ways and Means Committee, where you could really have some control over things or fund new programs should you want to and kill off old ones if you wanted to. But they wouldn't put Marion County legislators there because at that time almost all the state employees lived in Marion County. So they felt that we would be beholden to them in negotiation settlements and all sorts of things like that, which always really was a bone of contention with the Marion County legislators. It certainly was with me. But Wes Sullivan, who was a protege of Charles Sprague, the former governor, was the editor of the Statesman paper, and we had worked closely with him to orchestrate with the Chamber of Commerce and other citizen groups and the City Council and the County Commissioners several plans that affected Marion County, dealing with, we had all the institutions there, so we had human resources problems like you can't believe. But the city and the county and the legislators, Democrats and Republicans, we worked really as a team. to come up with a transit plan for Marion County, and then, as I said, something that would save the downtown district, as we were just being confronted with the new kind of strip mall out on the Lancaster. And we were very, and I think justifiably, proud of our county and community because we put aside partisan politics and really worked on these major issues. I'd served on the Salem Human Relations Committee. I'd served on the Marion Polk Boundary Committee as the first one, and we'd created an urban growth boundary before I went into the legislature. So we felt good about ourselves, and we treated our Democratic Senator Keith Burbidge with a great deal of respect and put him in into all of our discussions, as we did Jeff Gilmore and Carney Bateson, who are the Democrats. So then we found out that the Highway Department, the Transportation Department, was going to build a new building out by the airport. And they're at the state-owned property out there. And they hadn't talked to us about it at all, or they hadn't talked to the city about it. They were just going to do this kind of unilaterally. And Wally and I and the editor of the Statesman were just outraged that this was happening. So we were able to really get Jeff Gilmore and the Democrats to help us, and the Republicans were more in control than they certainly controlled the House, and try to stop that. Well, but it took a lot of effort because Lynn Newbery, who was a Republican and was very, would do just about anything Glenn Jackson said. But the other thing, that the underlying factor there that was so mystifying to me, and is that the State Highway Department really didn't need a new building, but the state needed a new building. So what they were going to do is use trust fund money to build a new building, call it the Highway Building, put it out by the freeway and the airport. And then they'd have to use the old highway building, which was built with trust funds, I assume, for something else. You know, and it was not a good way to do government's business. And it bothers me a lot to have that kind of manipulation. And there are always versions of that. Well,
I've heard that Glenn Jackson flew very often between Portland and Medford.
Yes.
And is there any possibility that he wanted the airport in Salem to be able to?
No doubt about it. And then he could just pop right out of somebody. He could walk to his office, that kind of thing. So we beat it down. But when the session, then I created a bill, the Capital Planning Commission. And I got it passed in 1971, and Wally was the sponsor over in the Senate. But it was my idea and work that put it together. We couldn't have done it without Wally, but I did all the legwork and footwork. And what we did is pass the bill to give the city of Salem and the county some clout on it, that you had to have the mayor. The mayor's appointee. And then we got Keith Burbidge, the Democrat, to use his influence or a threat to withhold support from Jason Bowe if Jason Bowe didn't put him on the commission. So we did. That's how closely we worked together. I created the slot, and then we knew that Jason Bowe would appoint a Democrat, so we went to Keith Burbidge and we said, we want you to give up some of your chits with Jason Bowe to get... It's really important for Marion County that you get on this commission that I'm creating. And
what year is this?
This is in 1971.
So at this point, Bowe was in the House then?
No, Bowe was in the Senate, and Keith Burbidge was in the Senate.
The House. Oh, I know. They were both in the Senate, okay.
Yes, Keith Burbidge was a new senator, and he and I ran together the first time. But I'm just using that as an illustration of how closely the Marion County delegation worked on these common issues. And we felt really good about ourselves, and we were always very upfront with the Democrats and they with us on these city and county issues. Well, so together we staved this off. Then the session ended And the day after the session ended, Wally Carson and I both picked up our newspapers and found on the front page of the Oregon Statesman an article that said that the governor was announcing that there was going to be a new building, and they unveiled the architectural plans and everything for it. Well, we were so mad, we could have spit nails. I mean, it was just such an abuse and such a circumvention of the way government's supposed to work according to the Constitution that it just infuriated me. So I went down to Wes Sullivan, the editor of the paper, and asked him if he would lead a group of business people if we made an appearance at the next emergency board meeting, which was going to be pretty shortly because they always have one fairly soon after the legislature ends. Well, Lynn Newbery did not appreciate that. Lynn Newbery was, I think, the chairman. So the first thing we did was to go in to make an appearance at the emergency board hearing, and they were just so furious because you weren't supposed to do that, and I didn't realize how damaging it was to me. It wouldn't have made any difference. I mean, I felt that I was doing what was right, and I still do. But I had no idea that these men would be so uptight about what I was doing. You know, I was following the democratic process and the legislative rules and everything, but I found out Lynn Newbery never forgave me for that. Well, anyway.
Are the emergency board meetings open or closed?
No, they're open.
So what was the problem with your coming
because
to
Because they don't take testimony on these issues.
I see.
That was before we passed the open meetings law. This is another reason. We passed the open meetings law in 73. Mm. But all of these things were building up to my spending a whole lot of time, and Wally too, on the open meetings law. Anyway, so then we raised the issue also of if you're going to build one, what's so inadequate about the highway commission? And the whole plan is that you build it on the mall. We had sacrificed Salem's best residential district to the state capitol, and the whole theory was that we would build the buildings like an avenue to drive through up to our state capitol.
Like the Capitol Mall in Washington,
and when they started squirting off, it destroyed the neighborhood because the state condemned the properties. And they're still sitting there, you know, and nobody can own them. They can rent them and lease them. And anyway, it was just a very major, I think, mistake for them to do that. Plus, it was done in an untoward manner. Well, that was a big lesson to me in politics. But they brought Mr. Jackson in and said, well, Mr. Jackson, do you really need a highway? And he said that he arranged this with Lynn Newbery. Then rather than to be forced to build it on the mall, he didn't want to build it at all. He wanted it out there, not at all. So he just came in and said, well, they've done another assessment, and they just forget about it because they didn't need a building. Well, Wally and I were so smarting from that, and that plus the Cape Kiwanda issue, where didn't I talk about that last time?
We talked about it, but we actually didn't discuss the issue itself.
Well,
yeah. And first of all, how did McCall fit into all this?
Well, McCall's chief executive officer, Ken. He ran the liquor commission too. Ken somebody is the one that unveiled it. But that's because Glenn Jackson wanted it. Glenn Jackson wanted it. Lynn Newbery lives in Talent, which is between Ashland and Medford.
Fruit grower.
And he would do anything Glenn Jackson wanted him to. So between Lynn Newbery and Glenn Jackson, and I'm sure that Tom McCall hadn't heard pros or cons on it.
Kessel Cannon?
Kessel
Cannon?
Kess would have had a hard time doing that, I think. But the other guy's name is... he lives in...
And let's see, Bob Logan was there about the same time too, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Don... It starts with a P, I'm gonna...
I know who you're talking about. In fact, wasn't he working also on the land use, some of the land use
issues? He might have been, but it was mostly Kess Cannon.
Yeah, right. But
well, anyway, getting back to this, we decided that we would introduce a bill that Wally and I co-sponsored. That no one could serve more than three terms as chairman of the State Highway Commission. And we introduced the bill. And it was printed. And then we introduced another one that was similar to that. There were two bills that were aimed directly at Glenn Jackson. And that was one of them, because he had served three terms. So that we'd have an issue that we could talk about.
Was his involvement with the parks only because of his running the highway department, or did he also...
Well, this is another thing. The people passed... the gas tax money is controlled by the Constitution, which presently says that you can only use the money for the construction and maintenance of roads and bike paths. We got that in there in 71.
Don
Stathos.
Stathos. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the evangelical minister from Portland, who's still a minister. He was very, very prominently in that role also.
Was he the same person that also became head of the Republican Party later on?
No. Oh, okay. No, that was, no. This guy is a lot smarter than the other one. But anyway, I'll think of his name in a minute. So if I had my legislative histories here, I could tell you what the other bill, but there were two of them.
I have the journals here. I don't know if that would have it in there or not, but
no, this wouldn't give the bill numbers.
Now you're trying to think of members of the House, is that right? Jack Anderson was also from Salem, wasn't he?
Yes, and he was very, he was one of the front runners on taxes and urban growth boundaries and that kind of thing.
And wasn't this the first session that Keith Burns was a member of?
I believe it, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Well, what is this man's name?
Here's a list of the people in the House, if you alphabetically, if you.
That's what I'm.
You've got that too. Okay.
Is this 71?
No,
this is 73.
Here's 71. So anyways, in terms of Glenn Jackson, he seemed to have much more sway over state politics during that whole generation, that whole period, mm-hmm. than other people of comparable wealth or power.
Yes, very definitely. And he also, the highway budget, which was one of the largest, was anybody, no one even looked at it. The same was true of the state at higher education budget too.
At the time, mm-hmm. really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't think that they were having.
There were three or four people on Ways and Means that would go through it and have hearings on it, but it's whatever Glenn Jackson wanted is what he got.
Hmm. And at the time there were also battles going on for. Weren't the state sales tax initiatives starting about that
yes,
time too?
Uh-huh,
and,
mm-hmm.
And so
McCall's tax plan that Neil Goldschmidt and I were co-chair of. And
so he was about the only one that had a stable
was in
income.
73, I think, after 73. Uh-huh. But the other issue, then in 73, the session opens up, and before the session, and I introduced that bill, and Molly, as I said, was the co-sponsor of the one that was a direct slap at Glenn Jackson about the terms.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one I'll have to look up because I remember there was something to deal with the head of the Highway Commission.
And were they passed?
No. They didn't even get serious hearings, but they caused a lot of comment.
So did you get any retribution from Glenn Jackson or Lynn Newbery
or
from having done that?
Uh-huh. Lynn Newbery was always.
Hmm. In what way?
Well, just they didn't have to say or do anything. They could just keep things from happening. But Cape Kiwanda thing, this business about the Capital Planning Commission and the county and the city and the highway building and everything took place in 71. And then the governor's office introduced the plan right after the legislature went home. Wally and I stormed the emergency board with the editor of the newspaper, which really infuriated people. And so that led to more fuel for our attempt to get an open meetings law, which we were successful in doing in 73. But right before the session started in 73, I noticed in this either the Statesman or the Capital Journal, another Salem paper, that those two papers paid a great deal of attention to legislative matters for all the obvious reasons. And there was a squib in the paper that said Representative Hanneman, who had been the chief sponsor of the bottle bill and was a conservative Republican and a dory fisherman from Pacific City, where Cape Kiwanda is. Right? He shoved his dory boats off Cape Kiwanda. Well, the article said that Representative Hanneman was considering introducing a bill making Cape Kiwanda a state park. And this was an issue that I was very involved in because I had introduced bills in the 73 session to outlaw snowmobiles outright and also to control off-road vehicles. And they were huge. I mean, created a huge hornet's nest of protest and activity. I don't think I've ever received more letters on anything than my off-road vehicle bill. Can we come back to that? Because I want to finish about Cape Kiwanda and Glenn Jackson.
Well, that's why I want to ask you about Cape Kiwanda. Mm-hmm. And the highways. Wasn't there a part? What at one time didn't the whole coastline have a code as to what was considered to be a highway on the sand or usable for?
Well, there had been a plan to put forth extend 101 out right on the ocean. And so we in the environmental community got very, very upset about that because it was going to damage estuaries and everything else.
Yeah.
So yes, that was true. All this was happening at the same time, kind of.
And Straub, didn't he also end up saving a piece of land right there by Pacific City that eventually became named after him, right
by... It isn't by Pacific City, though. Well, that's right, it isn't far, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so I dropped Paul Hanneman a note, said, if you need any help on the Kiwanda thing, it's a great idea and I'd be happy to help you. But the other reason that I was interested in is Sand Lake is up there. And the environmental community and the coastal watchdogs for the environment were telling me that the dune buggies and the off-road vehicles were just tearing that place apart, and that all kinds of accidents were happening, and it was just this huge free-for-all on Labor Day or Memorial Day, I think it was Labor Day, and it was just destroying it. So I didn't hear anything from Paul. I sent this note, but I didn't hear anything. The session starts, he never mentions it to me. Now, in the meantime, Nancy Fadley, the Democrats now control the House, so the chairman of the committees are going to be Democrats, the speaker's going to be Democrat, and Dick Hyman was elected speaker from Eugene, very liberal. And Nancy Fadley, and in the meantime, I had gone to Betty, this all kind of fits together. In the meantime, I'd gone to Betty Roberts, and I said, Betty, if you and I could hold our caucuses, neither one of our caucuses can do without us, the Democrats and Republicans, on key bills because the margin is thin. So why don't we form a women's caucus and see if we can't get the 12 women to hold together on all the women's issues, regardless of anything else. And then we've got all of these women's organizations on the outside that will help us bring political pressure, and we can get all these insurance bills and all kinds of discriminatory bills. There's a huge list of them. And she said, okay, I'll do that. And I said, well, since you're the senior member, why don't you call meetings? So, and you're a senator. So she called the 12 of us together, and they agreed that we would form the Women's Caucus. We made a list of all the women's issues, had a list as long as your arm of statutes that absolutely discriminated against women. And then we've said, okay, who wants to be the sponsor of this? And some of us sponsored all of them. And like Gracie Peck, who was the oldest, she didn't want anything to do with the abortion issue, but she'd support us on all the others and things like that. So then we signed them up. Well, then I went to Nancy and I said, this is really good. We've got the votes on the floor of the House, but the problem is, how are we going to get them out of a committee? So she and I paid a visit to the Speaker, Iman, and we said, this is our problem. We've got all these laws that discriminate against women and practices. We've got the bills. We know how to draft them. We're getting them drafted. We've got the women inside the legislature gathered together, and I'm going to start working on the outside, the Women in Communications, Zonta, Business and Professional Women, the Women for Agriculture, because they were very concerned about inheritance taxes, all kinds of issues that related to women, insurance, credit, public accommodations, entry to medical school, entry to law school, all the traditional male bastions. So we explained this to Iman, and we said, we know that the climate is right if we're well organized, that we can pass all these bills. We need a committee that we can get them out of. And he said, well, let me think about it. So two or three days later, he called us up at the podium during the session, and he showed us this list. And he said, today I'm announcing that I'm creating the House of the House of Environment and Land Use Committee. And Nancy, you're going to be chairman. Norma, you're going to be on it. And then we'll put 5 women on it so you can control when you meet and what comes in and out of it. So we said, this is wonderful. I've given speeches for 25 years praising Iman for doing that. But anyway, that's why the prostitution bill came out of the Environment and Land Use Committee, is because all the women's bills, no matter what their subject matter was, he assigned to that committee, And then all we had to do is make certain there were five of us, because we were a majority, were there, and we'd pass them out. Now, so we were sitting on the same committee that dealt with the Cape Quand issue. And Nancy Faley said, well, I'm going to introduce a committee bill to make Cape Quand a state park. And I said, well, Nancy, Paul Hanneman, it's in his district, and he has said that he wants to do it. And I said, why don't we give him the courtesy of doing it? You know, I was trying to protect his butt on it. So I went to Paul and I said, you know, when are you going to introduce it? And I checked and there wasn't anything in the hopper. It was near the deadline. And he